Well, good morning to all. It's good to see everyone here, especially Elvins and Leo. It's good to have you all here this morning. This morning, I would like to have the children come forward, maybe, and sit on the front bench up here. Have a little bit for them this morning. All right, guys, scoot together some. There's room there. Can we slide over a little bit? There you go. We'll just add a chair. All right. Today we're going to talk about sowing and reaping. Who knows what it is? What that means? What is sowing? What is it, Noah? Your name is Lana. Very nice. We might talk about that a little bit this morning. sowing is something that they talk about in the Bible some, and we don't call it sowing a whole lot in today. But sowing is what you do in a garden. Sowing is planting. Okay? So, you jump up and down? Okay. Okay, everybody sit down. Here, sit down. All right. Sowing is what they do in a garden, or what a farmer does. A farmer sows his field with seeds. You do it in your mom and dad might do it in a yard. They sow your yard with grass seed so that grass seed comes up. But guess what? We can sow seeds in our lives as well. So one way that we can sow seeds, and there's good seeds and there's bad seeds. Okay? And so you can sow bad things or you can sow good things. So if you, Noah, what happens if you don't obey mom and dad? Is that sowing good things or bad things? Bad things. So what do you reap if you disobey? Do you get a punishment? Yeah? So that's what sowing and reaping is about. So if you sow good things, if you're obedient, if you help your mom and dad out, do they maybe give you an allowance? Or buy you toys or something like that? Sometimes we, knowing them, if they do something good, they get an allowance. They have charts sometimes that they do. They do chores. And that's part of sowing and reaping. Yeah. So sowing and reaping is what you do. So when your mom and dad put in a garden, if they plant a corn seed, which is a corn kernel, what do they grow? Corn. So if they plant peas, what do they get?
Peas.
So do they go out there and try to sow a bunch of weeds in their garden? No. Why? Because weeds are bad, right? So in our lives, we need to make sure that we sow good things in our lives. Now, I have a pack of seeds here. And if I plant these, will I get corn? No. Will I get good things? Will I get flowers? Hopefully. Yes, we will get flowers. If you plant these, you will get flowers. If they grow up, you will get flowers. And you know what? You can plant. See how tiny this little pack is? And there's a lot of little few seeds in there. But guess what? There's going to be a bunch of flowers come from those few little seeds. So when you have a little bit, you might plant a little bit, but you're going to get a lot more back than what you planted. Okay? Because what you get back from this will not fit in this pack. So that's one thing to remember too, is if you sow good things, you get back a lot more good things. But if you sow bad things, you get back a lot more bad things too. So I have some of these for everybody. And y'all can take these home, and y'all can plant them. Let's mix them up, because I got two different kinds. You can plant them where your mom or dad says to. Don't plant them in their flower beds if they don't want them in their flower beds, because they will grow up and they may not want them there. But when you look at these, when you look at these flowers coming up, I want you to think about that we should do good things. We should sow good seeds so that good things come up. Okay? All right. Now don't go throwing them in your mom's flower bed, okay? All right, you can go back. Thank you. All right, this morning, I want to start out in Deuteronomy, but my main thing comes from Judges. But as I was studying this week, I thought I had something to share about Gideon, and as I started studying deeper, I realized that I have to go back a little farther than that. And the first of the year, I shared a message on parenting, on raising our children. And one of the scriptures that I shared was Deuteronomy 7, verses 1 to 6. And the children of Israel, Moses was talking to the children of Israel about what God had said to him. And it said, verse 1 says, "When the Lord your God brings you into the land which you go to possess, and has cast out many nations before you, the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than you. And when the Lord your God delivers them over to you, you shall conquer them and utterly destroy them. You shall make no covenant with them, nor show mercy to them. Nor shall you make marriages with them. You shall not give your daughter to their son, nor take their daughter for your son. For they will turn your sons away from following me to serve other gods. So the anger of the Lord will be aroused against you and destroy you suddenly. But thus you shall deal with them. You shall destroy their altars and break down their sacred pillars, cut down their wooden images and burn their carved images with fire. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth." God had said, "I'm going to bring you to the land of Israel, to the land where the Canaanites are, and these other nations." And he gave them an order. And he said, "I want you to destroy them, to remove these people from this land, because if you leave them here," it says, they will marry in with your family. They will destroy your family. They will lead you away from me. It says, "For they will turn your sons away from following me to serve other gods." If you lead these people here, it's not going to be good. And he said, "I'm going to help you." It says, "When the Lord your God delivers them over to you, you shall conquer them and utterly destroy them. Get them out of here so that you can be my people." So today, we're going to flip over to Judges now. And I looked it up. It's somewhere between 50 and 100 years later. They have crossed over into Israel. And we pick it up in chapter 1, verse 27. And I'm going to be reading from 27 to the end of chapter 2 then. But I'm not going to read all at once. I'll break it up into verses here. Verse 27 says, however, Manasseh did not drive out the inhabitants of Bashan and its villages, or Taanach and its villages, or the inhabitants of Dor and its villages, or the inhabitants of Ibleam and its villages, or the inhabitants of Megiddo and its villages, for the Canaanites were determined to dwell in that land. And it came to pass, when Israel was strong, that they put the Canaanites under tribute, but did not completely drive them out. Nor did Ephraim drive out the Canaanites who dwelt in Gezer, so the Canaanites dwelt in Gezer among them. Nor did Zebulun drive out the inhabitants of Kitron, or the inhabitants of Nahalo, so the Canaanites dwelt among them and were put under tribute. Nor did Asher drive out the inhabitants of Akko, or the inhabitants of Sidon, or of Alab, Ashib, Helba, Aphek, or Rehob. So the Asherites dwelt among the Canaanites, the inhabitants of the land, for they did not drive them out. Nor did Naphtali drive out the inhabitants of Beth Shemesh, or the inhabitants of Beth Anath, but they dwelt among the Canaanites, the inhabitants of the land. Nevertheless, the inhabitants of Beth Shemesh and Beth Anna were put under tribute to them. And the Amorites forced the children of Dan into the mountains, for they would not allow them to come down from the valley to the valley. And the Amorites were determined to dwell in Mount Heres, in Ajalon, and in Shalbim. Yet when the strength of the house of Joseph became greater, they were put under tribute. Now the boundary of the Amorites was from the ascent of Akrabim, from Selah and upward. These people, they didn't want to leave their land, and you can't blame them for that. But Israel was supposed to destroy them. They were supposed to remove them. And you see that they fought. These Canaanites, people that, these Jebusites and all these, they fought. They didn't want to leave their land. And at first it seemed like it was a struggle to get them, but it's each one of them, it seems like the Israelites had that opportunity. They were strong enough to destroy them, to remove them. But each one of them says they were put under tribute. And what does that mean? They made them slaves. They forced them into labor. So if they had control of them, why didn't they remove them? For whatever reason, maybe it was the fact that if they had slaves, if they could make them work for them, their lives would be easier. But that wasn't God's plan. God's plan was to remove them completely. So chapter 2 begins. It says, then the angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I led you up from Egypt and brought you to the land of which I swore to your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you. And you shall make no covenant with the inhabitants of this land. You shall tear down their altars. But you have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? God has come to them and said, I've kept my promise. I've told you that I'm going to drive these people out. And you're not doing it. Why haven't you kept your promise? Why haven't you kept your end of the deal up? You have not obeyed me. Verse 3 says, therefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be thorns in your side, and their God shall be a snare to you. So he's telling them, you know what? If you want these people, if you don't want to drive them out, I'm going to leave them here. And they're going to be thorns in your sides, and they're going to lead you astray. It says their God shall be a snare to you. If this is what you really want, then I'm going to leave them here, but it's going to cost you. It's going to be painful. I don't know about y'all, but I don't like thorns. And I dealt with some bushes this week that were wicked thorns. And I don't like them. But God said, you're going to be thorns, and they're going to be thorns in your side. So it was when the angel of the Lord spoke these words to all the children of Israel that people lifted up their voices and they wept. Then they called the name of that place Bochim, and they sacrificed there to the Lord. And when Joshua dismissed the people, the children of Israel went each to his own inheritance to possess the land. They had a choice right here to make. God had told them, I'm going to drive these people out. I want these people gone. And they didn't do it. But it seems like here they wept. They called on the Lord and they sacrificed there to the Lord. It was almost like they made it, you know what, we're going to try. But they turned around and didn't do it. They didn't do what God had for them. And each went to his own land. And then we see the death of Joshua. It says, so the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord which he had done for Israel. Now Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died when he was 110 years old. And they buried him within the border of his inheritance at Timnath-Heres in the mountains of Ephraim on the north side of Mount Gaash. When all that generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord nor the work which he had done for Israel. So it seems like, verse 7 says, it seems like as long as Joshua was alive, things were okay. But when Joshua died, and his generation died, another generation arose which did not know the Lord, which did not know the things he had done for them. What are we doing as parents to make sure that our children know the Lord? To make sure that they know the things that the Lord has done for us? You know, Wesley said something about, our parents and grandparents, whatever, maybe didn't show us, you know, that cushy, mushy love feeling, but yet we knew they loved us. And many of us have profited from the sacrifices, the lives that our grandparents and our parents have lived. They have sowed good seeds. And we see here, coming up, in the next couple of verses, we see that the seeds that the Israelites had sown by not driving these people out, they're going to start reaping some of these rewards. And they're not good. They had that opportunity to remove those people. God was with them. God said, I'm going to help you. I'm going to drive these people out. But they didn't. Verse 11 says, then the children of the evil did evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals. Baals was one of the gods that they had said that God had told them to remove. If they had done what he had said, they would not have been there. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, who had brought them out of the land of Egypt, and they followed other gods from among the gods of the people who were all around them, and they bowed down to them and provoked the Lord to anger. They forsook the Lord and served Baal and the Ashtoreths, and the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, so he delivered them into the hands of plunderers who despoiled them, and he sold them into the hands of their enemies all around, so that they could no longer stand before their enemies. Wherever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for calamity, as the Lord had said, and as the Lord had sworn to them, and they were greatly distressed. God had told them back in Deuteronomy, he had said, for they would turn your sons away from following me to serve other gods. 100 years later, guess what's happening? They're turning their children away. Their sons and daughters are turning away to these gods that did not destroy. And you know, that's the thing about sowing and reaping. You don't sow corn on Monday and reap it on Tuesday. You don't reap it on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. You sow corn in April and you reap it in June. It's not something that you do today and reap it tomorrow. You know, back in Deuteronomy 6, when I had shared before, it talks about several times, it talks about that it may be well with them. Keep all my commandments, that it may be well with them and with their children forever. 6, verse 2 says that you may fear the Lord your God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, that your days may be prolonged. It goes both ways. If you want good things for your children, you've got to make good decisions. The decisions that we make as parents today, they can affect our children. They will affect our children. They will affect our grandchildren. They will affect our grandchildren's children. The decisions that we make, as you see here in the children of Israel, the decisions that they made 100 years before are affecting them and their children. And the anger of the Lord was hot against them. God said, I've had it. I can't take it. I'm not going to allow this to happen. So what did he do? He allowed these people that they refused to drive out to rise up and to plunder them. It says, wherever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for calamity, as the Lord had said. As the Lord had sworn to them, they were greatly distressed. But God is a merciful God, and he hears us when we cry. And he heard the children of Israel. It says, and they were, the end of verse 15 says, and they were greatly distressed. So what did they do in their distress? They cried out to the Lord. Verse 16 says, nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges who delivered them out of the hand of those who plundered them. Yet they would not listen to their judges, but they played the harlot with other gods and quickly bowed down to them. And they turned quickly from the way in which their fathers walked in obeying the commandments of the Lord. So they did not so. And when the Lord raised up judges for them, the Lord was with the judge and delivered them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. For the Lord was moved to pity by their groaning because of those who oppressed them and harassed them. The Lord was merciful to them, and he would send judges. And if you keep reading on through Judges, it seems like a judge would come up and would deliver them, just like it says. And Israel would go through a stretch where they would have 40 years of good and 80 years of good. But then they would turn back to their wicked ways again. And sometimes the judges, some of the things that they did, even Gideon, some of the things that he did in the end, makes you wonder, what was he thinking? But it says that they would be worse than their fathers were. And they would turn from their father's way. So they turned quickly from the way in which their fathers walked. In obeying the commandments of the Lord, they did not so. And then it comes to verse 19. It says, and it came to pass when the judge was dead, that they reverted and they behaved more corruptly than their fathers, by following other gods to serve them and bow down to them. They did not cease from their own doings, nor from their stubborn way. Then the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he said, because this nation has transgressed my covenant, which I commanded their fathers, and has not heeded my voice, I will also no longer drive out before them any of the nations which Joshua left when he died, so that through them I may test Israel, whether they will keep the ways of the Lord to walk in them as their fathers kept them or not. Therefore the Lord left those nations without driving them out immediately, nor did he deliver them into the hands of Joshua. So the Lord said, you know what? Like I said in a couple of verses before that, I'm going to leave these people here. I'm not going to remove them for you, because they're going to be a test for you, to see whether you're going to be willing to walk in my ways or not. So he left them there. So these people were living, had to live with the Canaanites around them. And as I thought about that today, what are we influenced by? Are we influenced by the things around us? Are we influenced by the world? Or are we influenced by the Word? We have the option of looking to this for our guidance, for what we're going to do. Or we can look around us and we can look at the world and we can say, well, as long as I'm not quite as bad as them, I'm okay. That's not right. That's not going to get the job done. You know, I have a label from C. This is fescue. And it's 98.01% pure seed. That's pretty good. But there's 0.12% of weed seed. And when it comes to getting to heaven, that's not going to cut it. If we have 0.12 weed seed in our lives, that's not going to cut it. God wants all of us. We can't keep the things of this world. We can't keep it around like the Israelites did and expect to get into heaven. God wants pure followers, pure people. And it's impossible without Him. We have to trust in God to make us pure and to rely on Him. As we talked about Sunday school, I mentioned something about it's an everyday thing. And that's one of the things with sowing and reaping. Galatians 6, 7 to 10 says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. For he sows to the flesh, for he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we shall reap, if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith." One thing that's sure is that we're going to reap what we sow. One of the things, as I was studying, one of the things that came across said, we can't sow bad seed Monday through Saturday and pray for crop failure on Sunday. If you want a good crop, you're going to have to put the good seeds in. And so many times, we want to live like the world, or we want to live what ourself wants. And then Sunday we come and we want to sit here and we want to say, "Oh, I'm sorry. I live like that. I don't want to pay for what I've reaped. I don't want to sow for what I've reaped." So we're going to reap what we sow. If you plant corn, you're going to grow corn. But guess what? You put one little kernel on the ground, and you're going to get a stalk, and that stalk is going to produce 3-4 ears. How many kernels are on that? You're going to reap more than what you sow. So if you sow good stuff, you're going to reap more good stuff. If you sow bad stuff, you're going to reap more bad stuff. And another thing is, we reap later, like I said. The children of Israel, 100 years later, they were reaping what their parents, what their grandparents had sown. So you're not living your life for yourself. Us as young parents, call myself young, us as young parents, we're not living for ourselves. We're not sowing for ourselves. We're sowing for those little ones who are sitting beside us, because they're going to be impacted. One way or another, they're going to be impacted by the life that we lived. They're going to pay for it, whether with good things or with bad things. Somebody's going to pay for it, whatever it is. Another thing I came across was, it says, our task is not to know how God will use us, but simply to sow the Spirit and ask the Lord to bear godly fruit through our lives and others. We reap more than we sow, and what we sow in our daily choices and actions can have a powerful effect on our lives and the lives of those around us. You will affect not only your children's lives, but you will affect those lives around you. You can be a good impact on people. You can be a good impact on youth, on people you come in contact with. Or you can be a bad impact. You can be a bad, sow bad seed. So today, my challenge to each one of you: make good choices. Every day you make choices. Hundreds of choices, probably. You know, if I want to lose weight, I've got to make a choice in the morning when I get up that I'm not going to eat something that's fatty or whatever it is. But you don't just make that choice one time a day and lose weight. You're going to make that choice every time you eat. And one of my weaknesses is ice cream. I used to like to eat ice cream at night. 10, 11 o'clock, I'd come to bed with a bowl of ice cream. What, Dwight? Sometimes I would eat fruit with ice cream. But those are bad choices when it comes to health, the health of our body. It's bad for us. I know it is. But it's choices that you make all day long, every day. You can't let up. As parents, as fathers, we can't let up. Never. And it's a heavy weight. As leaders of our family, us as men, we can never, ever let up. There's not a time that says, you know what, I'm going to do this for myself. I'm going to indulge in this. There's no one around. No one will see me. My kids won't see me. We can't do it. It will be come out. You can bury that seed. If it's a bad seed, you can bury that sucker as deep as you want to bury it. Guess what? It's going to push its way to the surface. And sooner or later, we're going to reap it. Whatever we sow, we're going to reap it. So today, in closing, I challenge you to reap, to sow good seeds for our children, for our church, for our nation, for our world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. I thank you for this day you've given to us. Father, thank you for the rain you blessed us with. Father, we thank you that we know that you are in control, and you've created a wonderful world in which we can sow seeds. We know what will come up. You have designed it in a way that we can plant corn, and we know that we're going to get corn from it. And we can plant beans, and we know we're going to get beans from it. And in like ways, we know that if we plant good things in our lives, if we follow after you and are obedient to you, it's planting good things. So, Father, I thank you for a universe of order that you have created. Father, I pray that you would be with us as we go from here today. Father, I pray that you would be with us. Help us to be an example of good. Help us to follow after you and to plant good seed for not only for ourselves, but also for our children and our children's children and their children's children. Father, I pray that you would help us to live our lives in such a way that would be a shining light to those we come in contact with, to be a witness to those around us. I ask you to be with us as we go from here. Watch over us and keep us. In your name I pray. Amen. You're dismissed.